long-term strategic pact, the unease and frustration only grew in the power corridors of Washington. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Kaihan International wrote in this regard, "It is celebration of victory over the devilish forces of dissension, destruction, and destabilization. The Iranian president's historic trip to Damascus and the red carpet welcome accorded to him by his Syrian counterpart is actually a victory lap for the triumph of the resistance front over not just the most macabrely murderous terrorist, but also their most satanic supporters, especially the U.S. and the illegal Zionist entity. The recent historic meeting in Damascus between honored guest Dr. Sayed Ebrahim Raisi and the courteous host Assad, who again expressed his deepest gratitude for Iran's vital role in protecting the prestige and power of Syria, was however marked by the conspicuous absence of the main architect of the victory. Yes, the two presidents and their delegations rather felt sad in missing General Qasem Soleimani, a deft diplomat and a brilliant military strategist who was martyred in the most cowardly manner in January 2020 by the vanquished foe, the U.S., whose economic power, military might, sadistic savagery, and satanic sedition miserably failed to bring Syria to its knees." Anyway, so firmly did Soleimani's humanitarian efforts in laying foundations of regional stability in Lebanon, Syria, and other threatened countries included, have proved that today Tehran and Damascus, as backbones of the resistance front, which is fully confident of ending once and for all the Zionist threat, have jointly embarked upon solidifying not just political cooperation and economic industrial construction, but defense potential for the liberation of Palestine. As many as 15 agreements of cooperation in various fields have already been signed on the first day of the visit of President Raisi, who as thanksgiving will pay his humble respects in Damascus at holy shrines of Hazrat Zainab and Hazrat Ruqayyah, peace upon them, Prophet Muhammad's granddaughter and great-granddaughter respectively, in whose defense, along with the native Syrians, many Iranian, Iraqi, Afghan, and Pakistani Muslims achieved immortal martyrdom. President Raisi, hailing Iran-Syria relations as rich, fruitful, and full of experiences, said the mutual ties of the brotherly two countries are tied to the blood of our beloved martyrs, especially General Qasem Soleimani, and this is a key to the stability and strength of the relations between Tehran and Damascus. The two countries have also minced no words in calling for the end of U.S. occupation of some parts of Syria and withdrawal of all American forces from the region. Hopefully, decisively defeated Washington will heed this advice before it is too late. Or else, there will be no other choice for the resistance front other than send the uninvited soldiers back to their country in body bags. The Zionist regime, your days are numbered as well, as is evident by the Iranian president's interview recently with Lebanon's Al-Mayadeen TV. The Islamic Republic's power is not a secret to anyone. The Zionist regime's first potential act of folly against Iran would also be its last. Meanwhile, Press TV wrote in this regard, "Be angry and die of anger." Iran's foreign ministry spokesperson Nasser Kanani tweeted recently, taking a swipe at his American counterpart Vedant Patel, using a famous Persian proverb. Patel told reporters in Washington recently that deepening ties between Tehran and Damascus should be of great concern, not just to the U.S. and its allies, but to the world. Of course, the anger of the evil regime, whose horn has been broken in Syria and the entire region by Iran, and the axis of resistance, and which must end its aggressive presence in Syria, is natural, Kanani wrote in response to Patel's remarks. Why are Americans feeling jittery and peeved over President Dr. Seyed Ebrahim Raisi's visit to Syria? The answer is simple. The U.S. military-industrial complex has faced a disgraceful defeat in Syria after years of propping up terrorist groups and mercenaries with the aim of dislodging President Bashar al-Assad. Recently, as President Raisi touched down in Damascus, 13 years after an Iranian president visited the Arab country last time, he went straight to meet his Syrian counterpart. Assad did not come out of an underground hole like Saddam Hussein, nor was he dragged out of a drain pipe like Muammar Gaddafi. He hosted the visiting official at his beautiful presidential palace. Unlike Saddam and Gaddafi, the Western allies who were eventually dumped, Assad had the backing of Iran and the resistance axis as he stood up to Western powers and their mercenaries. Iran does not betray its friends and allies, which was also acknowledged by Assad recently. "You didn't only give us political and economic support, you supported us with your blood," Assad said during his meeting with President Raisi, thanking Iran for its firm and unwavering support. In response, Iran's president lauded the neighboring Arab country for achieving victory in war, despite threats and sanctions, while reaffirming Iran's continued support to Damascus. "This is anathema to Americans because they worked so hard and invested too heavy in a project that was designed to overthrow the Assad government and install a Western rubber stamp. The hawks in Washington still haven't given up and live in denial about changing geopolitical dynamics. Arab countries, including U.S. allies, queuing up to normalize their ties with Syria." Patel told reporters recently that Biden administration has made clear to its partners and allies in the region that it does not support normalizing ties with Damascus. A day before, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken told his Egyptian counterpart that those engaging with the Assad government should weigh carefully how those efforts are addressing the needs of the Syrian people. As if American airstrikes and pillaging of resources are helping war-weary Syrians. The fact that Washington's Arab allies, including Egypt, have taken a series of measures in recent months aimed at rapprochement with Syria has made Blinken and his absent-minded boss jittery. Turkey, Syria, Iran, and Russia will be meeting in Moscow next week to take the normalization discourse forward, with a focus on restoring full diplomatic ties between Damascus and Ankara. There is already talk about major Persian Gulf economies, including Saudi Arabia, planning to invest in big infrastructure projects in the war-ravaged country as part of reconstruction efforts. Iran has already pledged its assistance to Bashar al-Assad government as it moves to rebuild the country devastated by the decades-long war imposed by the U.S. and its state and non-state allies. Kanani said at his weekly press conference recently, "Syria is entering the reconstruction phase and Iran will stand by Syria during this phase too." In his meeting with Assad recently, President Raisi recalled the instrumental contribution of great martyrs, such as General Qasem Soleimani, in freeing the country from the grip of Daesh. Iran-Syria relations are tied to the blood of our dear martyrs, especially Martyr Haj Qasem Soleimani, and this name is the symbol of the stability and strength of the relations between the two countries, Iran's president was quoted as telling Assad. Just as the Islamic Republic stood by the Syrian government and nation in the fight against terrorism, it will also stand by its Syrian brothers in the field of development and progress, he said. These remarks, this brotherhood, and this camaraderie are a source of alarm for the United States and its allies, as well as the Zionist regime and mercenary groups it has backed in the Arab countries since 2011. That's precisely why Americans are angry, and they have every reason to be so.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints and Analysis on the Thoughts and Speeches of the Supreme Leader of Islamic Republic of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have two very special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen and Brother Salim. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Salim, assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Now, the main question for today's discussion is that all the people around the world know that according to the statistics, according to the data that is available, a genocide has been taking place, as is taking place, in the occupied land of Palestine by the Israeli. But still, America and its allies remain silent about this case. From one side, they talk about peace and peace talk and negotiations or something like that. From the other side, this genocide is happening. So many children have been killed all around the world. Not only the Muslims feel responsible and committed to oppose Israel, so many NGOs around the world, so many freedom seekers, you know, are also in the same field. Sayyid Mohsen, what is the main reason that the superpowers of the world remain silent against this genocide?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, when we talk about the superpowers and what they're doing, basically, we need to know that one of the characteristics of the superpowers is that they do not look at the rights of the others. Mm-hmm. They ignore the rights of the others and they just follow their own goals. They just want to achieve their own goals, what they have aimed. Since the Zionist regime is plotted by these superpowers in the area, in this land, so why they plotted this Zionist regime? In order to fulfill their own goals, in order to achieve their own goals. Mm-hmm. Now, in order to achieve their own goals, these arrogant powers, if their plotted people or their plotted, we can say like agents, if they commit any kind of sin, terrorism, I don't know, killing, genocide, they will close their eyes on it.
Okay.
On the other hand, if there is a resistance, they will quickly speak out. They will quickly talk about it. They will oppose the resistance against these things. So one of the main reasons is because the Zionist regime is being plotted by these, we can say, arrogant powers. That's why the characteristics of arrogant powers is that they close their eyes on the rights of the others.
Okay.
This is one of the main reasons. And that's why if you see in Kashmir, I don't know, if you see in Yemen, you see Palestine specifically, because we're talking about the Zionist regime, all these genocide that is happening, you know, the superpower or so-called superpower or the arrogant powers like U.S., they have closed their eyes. Even NATO, you know, they even are not reacting on this, whereas they have to save. But they're obviously following their own goals as well. They have their own interests, and through those interests, they are fulfilling their interests through these agents which are plotted at different places.
Right now, we know that Israeli protesters vow to stay put until Netanyahu's canceled judicial reform is called scrapped. You know, that's all right. The country is really in chaos. So many people are, we can say, out in Israel against the administration of Netanyahu. So I think it could not even satisfy its own people. I mean, inside the occupied land, this is the big problem for them they are facing. But brothers, Salem, what do you think the main reason is that the superpowers and so many organizations, I mean, for example, the UN, is the first, I think, victim, okay, first great victim over here, remains silent. Of course, here and there, they give us different addresses of the genocide, not killing here and there. But look at just the footage and the videos and the pictures of how many children are being killed in Palestine. Why remaining silent?
I think the reason, first reason, all of these, we have to follow the history of the United Nations. Before the United Nations, we had League of Nations.
Yes.
The League of Nations after the World War One. So what has happened there, the control of the world depend on America. The America who selected and the America who bribed other nations to stay with him. That's why they have divided Europe to Eastern and Western. So anyone who was Eastern one tried the America, what now we call United Nation, but this is originally America, it's not United Nation.
Okay.
And this is one side. Another side, all what we have now as a government around the world is not selected by the people. What 100% to be accepted by the nations. Or the nation of that government.
Yes.
So they have an agent inside of the government.
Yes.
Since the agents of Judaism, the agents of the Zionists are inside of these governments, the government will stay quiet.
Okay.
Why? Because there are some agreement within them. Behind these, what happening now, societies and what we call genocides.
Yes.
Because themselves, they have societies in the in their what? In their culture. To kill yourself. They are killing themselves sometime. And it is simple to kill someone since you have not what special moral or you can say that there is a religion which stopped this or there is an agreement to do this and to don't do that because we have the freedom what they believe in. So you can kill whomever you want since there is what benefits. And that's when you will refer to the economics again idea, the economics idea that has been replaced by Adam Smith.
Yes.
You can what into other country, you can bomb them, you can control them since the benefits are in that land. And you have to do that in your what? In the favor of your existence.
Yes.
Otherwise, they will overcome you. So we have to kill them. If we will not kill them, they will overcome us. And the place now like has been blocked. Israel are blocked or Judaism are blocked there. We are in Palestine. If we will leave them to say, okay, don't kill people. After that, we have to remove you from what? From the leadership and we have to replace another one else. Okay, now maybe we'll spread this power or this Judaism in another countries, maybe in Western, maybe in another way else. To stop this, okay, it's good. Just stay there. You want to kill them? Kill them, but stay there.
That's right.
Yeah, that is what I believe in. Maybe there are another ideas why Said can explain more about the issue.
Not only the genocide is taking place against the Israeli children and the people over there. So many, for example, journalists have been killed. The latest case, which was very important, was Shirin Abu Akleh, okay? Abu Akleh, that was killed over
journalist.
There. Yeah, the journalist of Al Jazeera, okay? She was killed over there just because of covering the news and analyzing the news against the Palestinians over there. But still, we could see the world is silent. You know, nothing is happening. Nothing. Nobody has been killed. No, nothing. And just consider that, for example, this case has been taking place in the other lands, like, for example, the U.S. or the U.K. or this and that.
Oh, Ukraine.
Or Ukraine, yeah. Yes. What would happen? Or Russia, for example. I don't know. When is the time to be awake, Sayed? I mean, the big awake.
Well, obviously, for the Muslim land, it is an alarming situation. Uh-huh. The reason is Quran has stated the clear statement about the, you know, the leaders of the Muslim land that he must be muttaqi. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Obviously, the best of you amongst the Allah is the near Allah is the one who God varies.
Okay.
On the other hand, obviously, we have the concept of infallible leader to lead the whole land, which is the authority by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since in today's world, we have different countries as a Muslim countries, and it's been divided. On top of that, everyone is seeking their own goal or the targets that they have, and they want to remain in power. That's why they are no more, we can say, like those who should basically lead the Muslim lands. Now, when they're in the power, they want to remain in power, and for that, they are linked with the arrogance power. Yes. They are obviously, you know, they rely on them.
Yes.
When you hear such things, what do you expect?
Yeah.
What do you expect? So there are many other reasons. Yeah. But the main reason is that in today's world, the Muslim lands, unfortunately, are led by, led by people who do not deserve to be the leaders of the Muslim Ummah.
Okay.
And that's why Zionist regime or regime like Zionism is making, you know, good relations with them, opening their own embassies in these countries, which shows us that they do not give any, you know, any, we can say, like, importance to the words of God, but they're after money, they're after power. On the other hand, so the capitalism in its real meaning is in these countries.
Establishment of Arab-Israel ties, you know, what was taking place. From day one after Islamic Republic of Iran was founded, the late Imam Khomeini has always addressed the issue of Palestine as not only an important case for the Muslims, but whole freedom seekers, all the people who are justice seekers around the world. This has enlightened a kind of new light in the hearts of the people, not only the Muslims, but so many people are around the world. But it's still the same question. Why so many Muslim lands? Because one of the main slogans of Islam must be defending the rights of the oppressed, of the mazlumin all around the world, mustazafin around the world. So why, as Sayyid said, hand in hand with the superpowers, some of the Muslim lands are, Brother Salah?
When we compare the Islam in Iran before revolution of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, and after revolution, may this will be understood as well. Now we have to compare the old one government with the new one, which we have now, Islamic government in Iran.
Yes.
This looks like the same thing happens in those Islamic countries. Islamic countries now is like Islamic country of Iran before Imam Khomeini.
Mm-hmm.
The culture of Islam is in the mind, but the government against of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
So it can affect the people. Idea, the people or understanding of what of Islam, what is Islam, what is really, what is the real of Islam, what is the really Islam, what we say in English.
Yes.
So they will say we are Muslim, but they think the Islam or the Muslim should just go to pray and fast and give zakat maybe for those Shia homes.
Yes.
And this is enough.
Okay.
So many people in the world who we call them Muslims are Muslim by the names.
Okay.
By their names only. And they are not be affected by really the basis of Islam. And they don't know what is really Islam says about being Muslim. It's just because we have the kind of types of what we call performing namaz or yes. say praying yes. or fasting or all of these. These are you with what? With your God.
Yes.
And we have another thing, you with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Nahjul Balagha,
yes.
the people are like you sometime as what? As a human being. And others are brother of you as what? As a Muslim like you. So according to this idea, how you are God to act to your brother if something happened to him, and how you will act if there is someone is not your brother as what? A brother, as a Muslim brother,
yes, yes, yes.
but is a brother of what?
Yes.
Of kind of you. You have the same kind of what? Humanity. It's a human being.
We have Jibhatul Haq, Jibhatul Batil. Of course, Jibhatul Haq is also active, you know, on his own side, regardless of the race, language, religion, or anything. The late Imam Khomeini's wish is becoming true, inshallah. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen and Brother Salim, for a nice elaboration. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Palestine will be free.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. No father to wipe away my tears. That's why I will cry. I feel scared, but I won't show my fears. I keep my head high, deep in my heart. I never have any doubt that Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow.
Food for thought.
Salam, friends. And here is food for thought for you today in the form of a beautiful saying from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace upon him. Exchange visits, treat each other mercifully, give each other, and do not be like the hypocrites who say what they do not do.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en
first days of January. Part 3.
The beginning of the year in early January, these days always have a special feeling for me. I was born 22 years ago in such days in a village in the province of Aleppo. I've always had these feelings in me in early January. Perhaps none of my friends, relatives, or even I thought that after 12 years of my birth in this land, events would happen that would change the course of history. I am Fatemeh Ali, a student of journalism at Allame Tabatabwe University in Tehran. In my country, due to the war in Syria, I was forced to leave school and immigrate to Iran. The shy little girl in the town of Nubl, whose biggest concern was the half-hour drive away from the University of Aleppo, today writes stories for us that include hundreds of volumes of books. Today is my birthday. My friends have invited me to listen to my travelogue. Like me, they too have endured the hardships of exile and immigration. Today I was supposed to tell them the story of my 1.5 years of absence from my hometown. Years of siege, famine, and starvation. 4 years without gas and electricity during the bone-chilling cold of northern Syria. This is only part of the suffering of the cities of Nubl and Al-Zahra. In those days, the dreams and wishes of the people depended on the fighters fighting outside the city. Those whose hearts burned like ours and did their best to not let the city fall into the hands of the Takfiri terrorists. Idlib province welcomes you. I am a member of the media and the child of Nubl. Hama welcomes you. I can stop anywhere on this route and I can even show the situation of my country to the whole world. A country who was involuntarily entered into a world war. Haj Qasim broke the siege of Nubl and Al-Zahra so that the sanctity of the divine sanctuary would not be violated again. This is why he was named the Master of Martyrs of the Defenders of the Shrine. Anyone who wants to know more about them should read the story of Karbala over and over again. It seems that all the sieges in the world were to be broken by martyr Haj Qasim Soleimani. So, wherever the voice of the oppressed was heard in siege, the presence of the martyr Haj Qasim Soleimani was also evident. The geographical location made no difference for him. But the greatest wish of the commander of the Quds force was to liberate the place where the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, ascended to heaven, the only place where the earth and the heavens meet. The land that is sacred to all religions, Al-Aqsa Mosque or Holy Quds. My report on Syria had taken on the color of resistance. I felt that I had to approach the occupied Palestinian territories to narrate the last mission of Haj Qasim. The story of the Battle of Karbala is not just a narrative for the resistance fighters. It is an experience that should not be repeated, and this was the reason that made the resistance fighters rush to defend any shrine that was under siege. The road between the Levant and the Hejaz must be equipped until the savior appears. A 22-year-old girl began her journey from northern Syria to southern Lebanon without any fear in her heart. The road to the borders of occupied Palestine, the road in which the commander of the Quds force restored security and peace. There is only one step left until the emergence of Imam Mahdi. The resistance has stood steadfast and strong against this cancerous tumor and inflicted great losses on it. But Haj Qasim prepared a world army to break the hegemony of Zionism. The popular uprising in Iraq, the Zainabis in Pakistan, the Fatimiyun in Afghanistan, the popular forces in Syria, the Ansarullah in Yemen, the resistance forces in Africa, and there may be other armies that we are still unaware of. Haj Qasim stood every day on the borders of occupied Palestine, reminding all the free people of the world of his last mission for which he was striving for. Quds is the secret key to the emergence of the savior of humanity. Today, Martyr Qasim Soleimani is leading the Quds and Palestine Liberation Army with more will and power.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salaamu Alaikum. This is another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, which in that we're going to speak about the art of listening. So be with us. Thank you.
yourself. Can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue. Planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun. Such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
It is Monday, is the 17th of Shawwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 18th of Ordubehesht, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 8th of May, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For blessing this moment, it's better to listen to verses 9 to 11 of chapter Mulk, and then the points of these interesting sayings.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قالوا بلى قد جاءنا نذير فكذبنا وقلنا ما نزل الله من شيء إن أنتم إلا في ضلال كبير.
They will say, yes, a warner had come to us. But we denied and said, Allah has not sent down anything. You are not but in great error.
وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ.
And they will say, if only we had been listening or reasoning, we would not be among the companions of the blaze.
فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسُحْقًا لِأَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ.
And they will admit their sin, so it is alienation for the companions of the blaze.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The disbelievers replied unto the keepers of the hell that warners had come unto them, but they had belied them, saying that Allah Almighty had never sent revelation unto anyone, so that they had been able to pursue their concupiscent desires. The blessed verse 10 reflects the origin of their misfortune and error, saying that had they listened to the messengers and made use of their intellect, they would have never been amongst the people of the hell. It is in the blessed verse 11 that they confess to having committed sins, saying that the people of the hell are deprived of divine mercy.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty. The sky at dawn, the silent trees, praise be to His supreme is He. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
Again, the topic of art of listening. What's the new in this episode? Hearing or listening? What's the difference? So what is so special about this act of listening that we call it an art? Good listening is something you feel when you experience it or when you are a part of it. It's a way of being present that goes beyond the simple act of being on the phone with someone or in the same room with their speaking. Good listening is active, unlike simply hearing, which is much more passive. Listening is about making sure the person talking to us knows we are really there with them. Empathy is a key ingredient of true listening. The person speaking will not only feel heard, but also understood.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The importance of listening to the Holy Quran and the miracle of listening A question raised is whether this silence is obligatory or recommended. According to some scholars, this silence is only obligatory when the surahs of Quran are recited by an imam in a congregational prayer. The followers should be silent at that time. At all other times when the Quran is being recited, it is appropriate and recommended that listeners should be silent, but it is not obligatory. Imam Baqir alayhi salam says, when the Quran is being recited in an obligatory prayer behind an imam, then listen to it and be silent. Maybe you will receive Allah's mercy. Silently listening to the Quran has the following potential benefits for the listener. 1. Awareness of the great status of the one who sent down the words. And 2. Reflection on what is being said. The 3rd benefit is softness of the heart as the verses are absorbed. And the 4th, an internal transformation as faith increases. So we have to note the word perhaps at the end of this verse shows that receiving Allah's mercy is contingent on more than just being silent and listening. Other conditions, such as having intention of acting upon the verses, would receive the divine mercy. IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
This is today's special and essential qualities that make excellent listeners. And we introduce one of the important ones, open-mindedness. Yeah, having an open mind is essential in building relationship because no one likes to feel as though they are being judged. Not everyone will have the same thought on certain topics, but allowing differences of opinion means that you can learn more about what others think. This is also true in workplace, where it's vital to be open-minded when working with your team members. This allows everyone to have a voice and feel as though they are being heard, which will improve their quality of work. There are some etiquettes in our relationship with the Quran. Beautification of the Quran with your voice. This is one of the etiquettes. We should recite it, I mean the Holy Quran, in the most beautiful manner and voice. There is no verse which is directly commanding their requirement, but we have numerous ahadith from our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny, where they commanded us to recite the Holy Quran in most beautiful manner. When you recite the Holy Quran in a beautiful tone, it shows an art of expression. Hence, when a Qari recites the Quran in a very beautiful voice, which attracts the hearts of the people and draws souls nearer to the Quran and influences our minds and melts our hearts, it is an art in its own right. This art is inspired from Qari's love of the Holy Quran. When a Qari recites the Holy Quran in the most beautiful manner, it is his expression of intense love for the Quran. If you study the unique artistic style in different parts of the Islamic world, we see the extensive devotion committed to creating those masterpieces of art.
Mm-hmm.
One day the Prophet was sitting among his companions and he said, Al-Khulafa'u min ba'di ithnay ashar. Once he started this sentence, at that time there was no microphone, so people had to listen. People had to be silent, so those who are sitting at the back can hear the voice of the Prophet. Once he started saying, Al-Khulafa'u min ba'di ithnay ashar, there was an uproar. Some people deliberately, they started to raise their voice. Deliberately. Someone says, I was listening and I did not hear the end of the sentence. This is why there is a discrepancy in the history. Some say the Prophet completed his sentence by saying, كلهم من قريش. But when you investigate this hadith and go to other Sunni sources, you find out the Prophet did not say كلهم من قريش. The Prophet said كلهم من بني هاشم. But some people didn't like the end of the sentence, so they started the uproar, raising their voice, so the rest of the people do not hear the sentence. وَالْغَوْ فِيهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ. This is exactly what the non-believers did to the same Prophet. They raised their voice, so they dismiss what the Prophet is saying. So maybe you win. Maybe you win. But they didn't win, of course. They are the losers. When you deprive yourself from listening to the truth, to justice, to the peace, to the wisdom, then you lose. You lose. Same thing on the day of Ashura. Imam Hussein stands to speak, to address the crowd who came to fight against him. They started raising their voice, screaming loud. So people cannot hear the voice of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein kept telling him, Unsutu, listen to what I'm... They didn't listen. Because they know if some of them would listen, they will change their mind. So they didn't listen.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. It seems that our time is over, so inshallah we continue this interesting topic in the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Don't forget, follow us. Till tomorrow, have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allah Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi. علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.